And welcome into another edition of the Down the Middle podcast. Now, Zoomcast, of course, with everybody going viral in a video way. Scott Marsh along with Vince Mastracco. And Vince, we had such a good time talking about the Carson Valley region last time with Jan Vandermeer. We wanted to go back up there and explore things a little bit further and talk to a very special guy up in that area who's working intimately with Genoa Lakes and certainly has his touch with the tournament at Edgewood every summer as well. So Vince, why don't you introduce today's guest?
Our guest today is Chris Detsch, the director of golf at Genoa Lakes. And just as a little intro on Genoa Lakes, anybody that hasn't gone up there and played, you're on Jacks Valley Road. You're just a little quick trip over the hill from the Tahoe side, get on Jacks Valley Road, and there's two Genoa courses, Genoa Lakes and Genoa Ranch. Genoa Lakes, and I know Chris will get into it more, was one of my first Peter Jacobson design courses that I played, and it too had John Harbottle involved with it. So, and Chris, I used to really enjoy my chats with Mr. Harbottle, so I miss the guy, but I mentioned that part of it there. But with that in mind, we need to introduce you. And so give us your background.
Well, first off, thank you very much for having me on. I've been in the golf business for a little over 20 years. The ironic part is I grew up in Southern California, surfing and skateboarding, and golf back in the early 80s wasn't anything that was in my radar. Came to Tahoe for snowboarding and needed a job in the summer, fell in love with golf, spent 9 years at Edgewood, had a passion for it, ended up realizing that snowboarding and some of these extreme sports were not going to be a career for me. Fell in love with the PGA and being in the golf business. And lo and behold, here I am, director of golf, been a PGA member for 5 years now. And love being part of this industry and taking care of all of our members and guests that come out and play golf at Genoa. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I had a chance to play up there over the summer, Chris. Lucky a part of the media tour with a lot of people who came up and played the course. And we played the lakeside up there and just really fabulous views. And, a lot of times for people who aren't intimate with the area, they think of Lake Tahoe and they think Edgewood and the courses along the corridor and then of course Truckee, but they forget all the great golf that's out there in the Carson Valley region, including at Genoa Lakes, which has hosted U.S. Open qualifiers.
Yeah, we had the U.S. Open qualifier for over 17 plus years. We've been very fortunate to have the U.S. Mid-Am qualifiers, U.S. Am qualifiers, a bunch of USGA events that has been wonderful for Genoa Lakes. And you're right, that having two golf courses, just so that everybody's aware, we have both of our facilities are separate. They're 3 miles apart from each other. And the neat part about that is that both facilities are about as 180 degrees different than each other. So the Lakes course is your Peter Jacobson Harbottle design. It's your country club style, got the lots of water. It's got the Carson Valley, Carson River running through the middle of it. We've got our deer and our red hawk that come and hang out. And then the ranch course was a Johnny Miller Harbottle design.
Yeah.
And there's 300 plus foot of elevation change. I call it contour golf. And it's tee box, fairway, and sagebrush. And the vistas out there are awesome. And I know that there was a nice competition between Mr. Jacobson and Mr. Miller with an alliance with Mr. Harbottle of who could build the better golf course. So we were very lucky to be in that fight to have two beautiful facilities 3 miles apart in the Carson Valley.
Well, I want to add to that, and only from the standpoint of I was up there when Johnny Miller, I've always enjoyed my chats with him over a number of years. And at one time, he told me, and this was actually when he was taking over the Napa golf course, he said that Robert Trent Jones Sr. Always encouraged him to build difficult greens. And I forget the reason why, and it escapes me. But another time I was talking with Peter Jacobson about designing golf courses, and he said, I don't like humpty bumpty greens with lots of of break to them. I want greens you can go putt. And I only bring that up because I think you can characterize those courses. We tend to overlook that I would say Peter Jacobson's greens might be a little bit more inviting than the greens at the ranch course.
Yes. We've had to educate our cup cutters at the ranch course that just because the cup can go there in the morning, have a little wind, have a little slope, it really changes the dynamic for our afternoon golfers. So our pin placements at the ranch are a little less than they are at the lakes course. You definitely have a lot more options. So Peter was a lot friendlier than Mr. Miller.
Actually, we're all living through 2020 and the situation with COVID. And I know when I was up there, you guys were taking all the precautions necessary to make it safe for everybody. That's a big part of what's going on now. So many people out playing golf these days, right? It's such a tremendous outlet to get outdoors and to be safe. Vince and I were just curious, in terms of what you've seen, have you seen an uptick this year at the courses in terms of play, and specifically with the younger generation? Are you seeing more kids getting out than you might normally?
I would agree with that. Yes, COVID has been a blessing for the golf business, a curse for society and the world in general. You nailed it. Lots more people are out. Merchandise sales are up from hard goods. We got new people coming in. A lot of other individuals, wives and kids, are coming out to play. The one downturn was our group play, and events were impacted dramatically from travel and any groups of over 30. So that really hit. But on the other side of it is just our day to day play was up. Our online bookings, our reservations, a lot of that stuff. Now, the one other challenge that COVID presented was, the social distancing. So creating the single cart scenario. When I went through school, there wasn't a single cart management program in the PGA. So managing your tee sheet to not overload your players and have them run out of carts, but not blocking off enough that you're taking revenue away. So it's been a creative challenge for my staff and myself, and I give them a lot of credit for managing it appropriately to make sure we don't have people standing around waiting for a single cart. But we are obliging to all the mandates and all people's personal preferences of COVID, and all in all, it's been successful, and our rounds have definitely been up a whole bunch this year.
Have you had to increase your fleet, your cart fleet?
So no, but we are very lucky, that, and it is a challenge, but we can manage the tee sheet. If we know we've got a different event or one golf course is fuller than the other, we go steal from the ranch to, and bring five or six carts down the street, and we'll do the opposite. Now, it looks a little funny when you're driving up and down Jacks Valley Road with six golf carts, but, we make sure that we take care of our members and guests, and we're one of the lucky few that has that option.
Okay.
Talking with Chris Dutch here, and Chris, we spoke with Phil Weidinger a little bit, who does such a great job promoting.
Did you get a word in?
Very. What's that?
Did you get a word in with Phil at all,
for a while?
Yeah. Okay.
He shared with us that you've worked with Mr. Charles Barkley up at the American Century Championship, and you've caddied for him. Obviously, it's just one of the great events, and it took place this year, and obviously without fans, which always is unfortunate because that is such a fan-driven event. But can you just talk about that? That's going to be an incredible experience for you.
Well, I've been working with Mr. Barkley for over 14 years. It has been a wonderful experience on multiple different levels. Most of my stories that I would have or could have, we would have to sit at a bar by ourselves. More X-rated and explicit language, but that's what makes it fun. No, Charles has been wonderful. He is a fantastic human being. I'm sorry, Chuck, but his golf game could be described in multiple different levels. We've gone through lots of transitions. I think this year, I'd like to say that we made progress. Didn't know if having the fans there or not there hurt or help, knowing that he's got a different philosophy that he's working with. But all in all, he's just been a lot of fun. You know, in the beginning, you know, calling myself a caddy would be, you know, I kind of, that's pushing it, knowing that normally my job is to talk trash, carry his bag, and point out the pretty girls, you know, and I had that down pretty good. So,
I would think that it's kind of hard to say, hey, Charles, I like 7-iron here. I like 7-iron on this with his swing and with all of his troubles to do that. But I think having been media up there covering that event numerous times, Charles is, I agree, he's a fantastic human. And I think what I want to do is pay him a little extra compliment, not regarding his golf swing, but we, at least in California, certainly have been challenged with some mega, mega fires in recent years. Well, I was up there covering when the Tahoe fires came through. And I believe in a couple of years, Charles wrote a 6-figure check up there just to aid Tahoe residents, the Tahoe area. And I think came back the next year. And then I think either the third year or maybe it was the second year, also took first responders out and hosted them in for a big dinner. So
he wrote a check to the city of South Lake Tahoe and the fire for over $100,000.
Yeah.
And then the next year he took 100 firefighters, first responders, EMTs out to one of the local casinos and restaurants downstairs and comped all their meals and bar and had a wonderful evening.
Yeah. I think that's just worth noting. A lot of people don't know that.
If the city of South Lake Tahoe, that following year, there is a small tree. It's probably getting bigger now since it has been a while ago. And there is a plaque right next to the bridge outside the driving range at Edgewood that there's Charles Barkley Day that really pretty much rolls right around Celebrity Week. And they've dedicated Charles as mayor for a day right around that time. So that's always neat to have that. And this year, actually, the Saturday of the event happened to be Charles Barkley Day in South Lake Tahoe.
That's awesome. He's the mayor of that tournament. There's no doubt about it. Now, rumor has it, because I've heard him speak many times, and, you know, he often talks about how his game's improving and how, you know, when he's on the range, it's one swing versus on the course.
Seen it all.
Is that true?
100%. So, Charles has, I've always teased him and he's well aware that Charles has three swings. Okay. There's a driving range swing, there's an off camera swing and an on camera gallery swing. And the bigger the gallery, the more the camera, the bigger the hitch. There is no hitch or pause on the driving range. He absolutely pipes it. He when he's on the range and he makes good contact, he flushes the ball. I mean, he hits his 9-iron about 160. He hits his driver over 300.
Ooh.
Charles, he knows golf very, very well. He is an avid enthusiast of the game. I mean, he was an 8 handicap when he played with the Suns back in the day.
Wow.
And, you know, I've got the story of how and why and where and what and how it all went. And the hitch happened, and you know, it's all mental for him because he can still chip and putt like normal. That's kind of been one of our, you know, my jokes to him is I don't get to read a lot of putts because half the time during the tournament he's, you know, we're picking up, and then he goes out and hangs out with the fans and sign autographs and all those other things. So as a player, as a mechanics, as a thinker, it's all there. He can put it together. Unfortunately, his head gets in the way and the yip happens and you never know. So I can give you a little funny story of this is multiple years ago. When
I was going to say, you got to give us a couple stories.
So this goes back a little bit to, you know, as you mentioned, picking clubs and doing this kind of stuff, right? So we were in the Pro-Am. And again, I don't remember how long ago this was, but Haney was with us and yep. I'm walking down the fairway with him and I says, look, you know, I go, we have this wonderful athlete. Why don't we just, you know, switch brain hemispheres. All right. And let's just put, I just want him to hit left-handed. So there was a lefty in our group, and he was on the phone or doing something, and he asked me for the yardage, and I said, it's 110. And I'm just holding out this club, and it was a left-handed pitching wedge out of one of our players in our group. And he looks at me and goes, what the, you know, something is this or that and whatever, right? And he's, you know, I'm like, Charles, just humor me. Just hit it. Just try it. One swing, left-handed, pitching wedge, knocks it on the green.
Wow.
Okay. Haney freaks out, the club. I mean, it was this classic thing. We go about our business for the day. Well, so we play on Friday, and he's swinging with the biggest yip. He was actually swinging one-handed at the time, left-handed, combination of stuff. You just never know what was going to come out. So Saturday, we're screwing around. I go grab a left-handed six iron, a left-handed driver, and I think a left-handed hybrid out of the rental sets that we had at Edgewood. And we spent an hour to an hour and a half on the driving range that Saturday hitting balls left-handed. Well, he was making good contact. And like, cool, let's just try this, whatever. And as the ambassador, nobody cares. They just wanted to be successful.
Yep.
No. Saturday, we're walking down the first fairway. Now I have a full set of clubs, 3 dozen golf balls, 4 extra grips. I mean, his bag weighs like, you know, and I have a left-handed driver, a left-handed. So I've probably got 17 clubs in the bag, you know, and I'm getting tired already. You know,
I'm getting
older. So we're on, I think it was the second hole, and he's already trying to chop it all over, and I give him the yardage. And he says, well, how about this? And I says, well, you know, how about this one? I said, Charles, I go, look, dude, you gotta work with me here a little bit. Are you going to swing with your yip? Are you going to swing one-handed? Are you going to swing left-handed? I said, it's hard enough to club you when I don't know what you're going to do. I said, throw me a bone here, man. Just give me a little direction. So we have so much fun. That was the other part. So just, you just never know what we were going to get. We've had others just to help with the yip situation during the pro-am. We took cups, we took Dixie cups, and I turned them around. And we put 3 tees on the ground, and we put 3 cups, and one of them had the ball underneath it. And each tee shot, we switched where the ball was to try to teach him to swing through. And he would smash that Dixie cup and smash that Dixie cup. And then the third one, the ball would be there, and he would pipe it. Okay. He took the cup away. There goes the pause.
There it goes again.
So, I mean, that was just a small blip of what stories of things, you know, he'll probably, if he ever hears this, one of my favorites was this a couple years ago. It's Mr. Barkley. And if you're familiar with hole number 10, it's got the water left of the green. And we didn't finish that hole a lot. Well, we're with Emmett Smith and the final group of the day on Saturday or Sunday. We're already out of the hole. So Charles asked me to bring his bag over to him. So I set the bag down next to the green. He grabs his phone and his glasses, and Emmett looks at me and says, what's going on? I said, Mike, we're done. We're in pocket. So he goes to go putt. And I look down, and there's this giant pitch mark on the front corner of the green. And so I bend down and I start fixing it. He looks up at me and goes, are you looking at? What are you doing? I says, well, I just wanted to remember if I had to fix this pitch mark since you never hit any greens. He starts laughing. Will you mother? What? You know, but he's got a big old smile on his face because Emmett stopped. He started dying laughing because he couldn't even putt anymore because we hadn't hit a green all day and I was just messing with him. So I love the fact that I can do that with him. He hates the fact that I can do that with him because he would much rather be, you know, the better guy. This year, I will give him a lot of credit. We had a routine. We had a system. I did give him yardages when the swing felt good. He hit it really well. We had another great interaction this year. I won't get into details on Saturday, but the results of going into Sunday, me being a piece of you know what and never doing my job right. We birdied the last hole of the event, made a 4-foot putt for birdie. Mic drop, see you later, ACC, and went about 2020, and I'm looking forward to working with him again. So I'm very lucky to be a part of it.
Those are fun stories. And even the stories you can't tell, you know they're fun.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. So, you know,
we'll look for the Desch project, like the Haiti project with Barclay to come.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
We'd love to see that. You know, obviously, as a PGA pro, you're helping a lot of normal people, not like the celebrities, the Charles Barclays, and obviously world-class athletes. What is one or two things when you work with students? I know everybody's different to some extent, but is there a basic philosophy when you're out on the range with just the typical person coming to Genoa?
Yeah, I have a, you know, my go-to is it's not how good your good shots are. It's how good your bad shots are. And I try to instill in people that if we all hit the best shots every single time, we'd all be on tour. Okay. And I'm trying to let people enjoy the game and not, and just have fun while they're out there. You know, that's just from the mental aspect. From a physical, you know, get your basic fundamentals down and using your bigger muscles, use the foundation, use your legs, use your core, use your shoulders, let your hands and arms go for the ride instead of trying to hit the ball with your hands. You know, I always try to teach the golf swing, not hitting the golf ball. Let the ball get in the way of a good golf swing, and the ball will go where you ultimately want it to. Physical limitations. I try not to change somebody's swing so dramatically that I'm going to screw them up more than I am going to help them. I take with what they give me, and I try to tweak it to make it work for them. Every player is different. You know, if they want to go from a 30 to a 25, that's one thing. If you want to go from a 15 to a 5, well, man, that's a whole different philosophy. And your student needs to participate and take as much interest and involvement is getting better as I do as the golf professional. You know,
yep.
when you go and say, hey, you know, when's the last time you practiced? Well, when was our last lesson? Like, yeah, no, that doesn't work for me, buddy. Yeah, you know, this is a team effort here. And if you don't get better, it's bad on me. But I just enjoy being out there. I love being a part of this game. And I do enjoy getting working with people to get better, and especially the youth. The kids today, they're our future golfers, they're our future members. Yep. And, you know, I love being part of junior golf too.
Absolutely.
All right. We're talking with Director of Golf at Genoa Lakes, Chris Ditch. Chris, I want to come back to the course a little bit, but even before I do that, you know, we mentioned safety earlier during our chat, and we're all pretty much aware of the protocols safe play, don't touch the flagsticks, you know, probably, you know, don't remove them, no rakes in the bunkers, wear a mask. We certainly like a social distance. Have you had any pushback or any incidences that you would, I don't want to say highlight, but would show, hey, this wasn't really good golf etiquette? So,
No, not yet. I think we're very lucky to be in the part of the nation and in the area that we are in. Our community that we do have supports and understands that we're very lucky to be open. Our members and our guests go along with all the proper protocols that we have, knowing the fact that we did get shut down in the spring. Our Nevada governor closed us down for 3 weeks, just in general. And ever since then, everybody's been extremely compliant. We've been checked a few times by OSHA and by our Douglas County Sheriff's Department, and we've got a clean bill, 100% of what we're doing and our protocols with the pro shops, with our events, and we encourage families to ride together if they choose to do so, going along with that what's out there, same household. And if you want to ride in your own cart and you choose to ride in your own cart, we oblige them. All of our sanitation practices with the golf carts and everything else says we're following all those guidelines and making sure that that's taken care of. And, you know, if it takes a little extra to get your cart, we're going to do that to make sure that everybody's safe. So
okay.
We've not had any pushback at all. I think most of it is that you know, look, you can't go to the movie theater. You can't go do a lot of the things that are out there. So people are thankful that they can come to the golf course, and they're going to do whatever we ask them to make sure that we stay open.
I think that's well stated right there. So, okay, now let's switch back to the course for people that haven't been there, or maybe it's been a while. Give me a couple of the signature holes. What are the more signature holes of that course?
Well, on the lake course, number 12 is our par 3. It's right by the clubhouse. It's got water surrounding the whole front end of it. It's got a small little bunker in the front. It's kind of similar to a little throwback from the 12th hole at Augusta National. Now, there's no azaleas in the background, of course, but the layout is pretty similar. I think 14, another par 3 that's on the back nine, is a fantastic golf hole. The tee box from the back tees is about 230 yards, but it's a nice shoot through all of the willows and some of the Sierra Nevada foothills in the background capture that. I don't know when you were here, if you played the back tees on number 16. It's probably another one that kind of mixes it up a little bit from a tee box standpoint. Those are wonderful. Number 7 on the front is a nice long par 4 that has all of the Job's Peak and Job's Sister and Friel, and you can see the ski resort when we have the snow-capped mountains on number 7. So those are some for the lakes. The ranch course, there's a few. My personal favorite is number 16, and that is called Job's Peak. It's a little downhill par 3, plays from about 140 yards from our normal men's tees, big two-tier green, and you're way up on the top of the hillside, so the vistas down below are beautiful. It's
those tiers on the green again, the two-tiered green. Yes. Yeah,
exactly. So the funny part is that hole, we probably had more hole-in-ones on any other hole on the golf course on that one, just because you hit it up on the slope, and if the pin is on the bottom left somewhere, you just get to watch it fall down the hill and into the hole. I think 16 is a great one. Our final hole, or finishing hole number 18, is a 560 yard par 5 downhill. It's got a few different, tiers on the way down the hill, but and then water left of the green that's beautiful, and then the clubhouse to the right hand side that you see from down below. Number 8 is another one that's got water surrounding. It's kind of an island green. Yeah. That's really nice as well at the ranch course. So there's a few.
I don't know about you, but for me, he's got me fired up to go up there to make a weekend or an extended trip to play both courses.
You know, and I'm thinking Autumn Golf had been up there probably more for Autumn Golf due to the Divine Nine stuff in my past than I have in the spring. Although the last couple times I've been up to the Tahoe Celeb, I've usually gone over the hill and played the lakes course. It's been a long time since I've played the ranch course. But, I think there is – there's an attraction to get up there now with the weather change and all of it. Did you have a frost delay this morning?
We had a small frost delay, but part of it was because it was our final round of our ladies club. We had to get a few extra holes taken care of a little earlier before we could send them out. Around this time a year, you know, we'll have a few. I mean, right now our first tee time of the day is 8:30.
Okay.
We have, it was 36 degrees when I pulled in this morning.
There
was
what is it now?
Now I think it's probably in the mid 70s.
Yeah.
This time of year, we definitely get, it says it's 81 degrees right now outside. So
that's Carson Valley. I love it.
The leaves are changing. The fall colors that are here, we do get a little bit of yellow and red on some of our aspens around here. The town of Genoa is right down from us, which is a great little spot to go and hang out. We do have the oldest thirst parlor in the state in the Genoa Bar, which is always wonderful after a round of golf. You have quite the eclectic group of guests when you've got your cowboys, your golfers, and your bikers all hanging out at the same bar. But if you do come out and play Genoa Lakes or the ranch course, that would be a definite recommendation for anybody who comes to our area.
That's a fun pub. So,
yeah, no doubt. Oldest bar in Nevada. All right. Chris, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it. It's been great catching up with you, learning your background a little bit. Thanks for sharing everything with Mr. Barkley. We'll make sure to pass that along, and we'll We'll look forward to seeing you at the course, and we'll look forward to seeing you at the tournament in 2021.
Have a great fall season.
Yeah. Thank you. Absolutely. I appreciate it. Thank you very much for having me, and look forward to chatting with you and seeing you again soon.
Yep. All right, Chris. That's going to do it for this edition of the Down the Middle podcast. Vince, we'll have some more upcoming episodes, but we appreciate everybody following along with us. And until next time, that's going to do it for this edition. Have a great day, everyone.
Go play golf.